Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming my colleague Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing at Real Clear Politics about free speech. Peter, I ask a frequently asked question that is skipped sometimes. Why do we need free speech? What does it do for us? Good evening, Peter.
Good evening, John. It's an excellent question, and all of those, all of us who defend it should be happy to give the answer. There are two broad justifications for it. The first justification is that it's essential to democracy. We need to get the word out. We need to acquire information. We need to exchange opinions in order to become more informed citizens. You can't have an effective democracy, a rights-protecting democracy, without free speech. But there's another and deeper justification of free speech, which is connected to American constitutional government, really bound up with the principles on which our form of government is based. That is, free speech is, I think, one of our unalienable rights. That is, it's essential to our humanity. How so? Because we are, as Aristotle would have said, social and political beings. That means that we speak, we make judgments about what's just and unjust, what's noble and base. We create things, we exchange opinions. And for us to be faithful to our humanity, we need to be able to express our opinion, and we need to be able to hear other people's express their opinions. So instrumental to democracy, and because it's part of our nature. Sorry.
You emphasize a new book, Jonathan Turley's The Indispensable Right, Free Speech in an Age of Rage. Does Professor Turley believe that free speech is under attack right now?
He very much does believe it's under attack right now. He stresses the attack on free speech at home in the United States. We know there are actually attacks around the world as the authoritarian impulse, always powerful, grows stronger. But Turley's focus, he's a professor of law at Georgetown University, frequent public commentator. His focus is especially here in the United States, and especially the use of these notions, misinformation, disinformation, malinformation, harmful, offensive speech, the use of these terms and notions to stifle speech with which some authority disagrees.
It's easy to point to bad actors outside the United States. I'm thinking of Venezuela using facial recognition technology and crowds and also monitoring people's emails and messages to each other at night. So there's a knock on the door. There are more than 2,000 arrests in Venezuela. It's easy to see that Brazil is persecuting X, Twitter, formerly Twitter, or Starlink. It's not so easy to see that it's happening in the United States. Mr. Zuckerberg wrote a letter recently that looked like an apology, but also an explanation of what went on during COVID. Did the White House risk breaking free speech? Has it talked about it since then, Peter?
As far as I've been able to discern, the White House has been mum concerning what I regard as egregious violations of the principles of free speech. We know from Zuckerberg's letter, and we knew previously from the reporting work collected as the Twitter files work done by Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss and others, we know that the Biden White House put pressure on Twitter and on Facebook, among others, to short circuit the expression of opinions about COVID-19. First of all, that is, any opinions that called into question the efficacy of masks, the efficacy of lockdowns, the efficacy of of social distancing. By the way, we now know that all these doubts were proper, and also from Zuckerberg's letter, we know that the Biden administration put pressure on Facebook to censor reporting on Hunter Biden's. On Hunter Biden's laptop that was incriminating information that was revealed by the New York Post in October 2020, just a few weeks before the election.
And because we have this example at home, have we learned from it? What is your measure, Peter? Where are we now?
My view is that we still have a long, long way to go. I don't believe that we have sufficiently learned. I don't believe that people who have engaged in these cover-ups of important information, if people in government, in the corporate world, at our universities, in the newspapers, I don't think they have apologized for their attacks on free speech. I'm not even sure that a majority of them believe that they did anything wrong. So we have a long way to go.
And the monitoring that is implicit in censorship or in a limitation of free speech, is that understood by the American public, the apparatus that must be available to authorities to maintain that sort of control? I mean, how bad does America think it is? We always figure we're special. Are we, Peter?
I still think we are better than most, but we've fallen far, far short of our own standards. I worry that the public is not sufficiently appreciative of the threats to free speech, or to put it slightly differently, those who have benefited, those who see their political opinions vindicated by the recent Biden administration censorship, I think are not at all concerned. Whereas conservatives, whose opinions have been blocked, labeled as misinformation, malinformation, or disinformation, they are increasingly concerned about the use and abuse of government power.
I want to remark how I was during the COVID-19. I was not censored, to my knowledge, by anyone except by me. Therein is the risk, Peter, profound risk, self-censorship. You avoid entire themes because of what you read about how people are being censored or ashamed or accused or even indicted because of their remarks. And that's going on everywhere, Peter. There is no force more powerful than yourself to stop you from speaking out.
That's an important observation, John. You remind me that just this morning I was reading data suggesting that something like 50% of students on college campuses now self-center, decline to express their opinion on at least two big issues, abortion and Israel, for fear of the retribution they will suffer for expressing their opinions. That's no way to run a university.
It was not that way, to my memory, in the 20th century when we were educated. What's happened, Peter? Is it the academy? Is it the university? Is it the grammar schools? Where did it come from, this self-censorship and this willingness of people to obey authority, no matter how irrational?
Well, to make, as you know, a very long story short, it actually does emanate from the universities. It begins in the 1970s when a new cohort arrives with the view that the purpose of education is not to transmit knowledge and cultivate independent thought, but rather to promote a certain set of values, progressive values. Education and scholarship are from now on politics as other means. And to inculcate the correct progressive message, we don't need to hear a variety of opinions. We only have time for the correct opinions. It's that opinion that has now become deeply entrenched in the university world that explains the rise of censorship on campus. And now, because it's been going on for several generations, it helps explain why we also have why we see the censorship regime begin already in K-12 education.
Is it your measure that the academy is aware that good advice these days is to a student, don't write it down, never write it down? Does the academy know that that's what we've come to?
I think to some extent they do. To a considerable extent, they do. The question is whether they think that's a good thing or a bad thing. Some may suppose that good. Students have got the lesson correct, that some opinions, never mind if they're held by 50% of Americans, some opinions are beyond the pale and should not be heard on this campus.
And the students whom you talk to, are they respectful of these limitations? Are they irritated? Are they restless? Are they angry? How do they respond when they realize they're living in a censorship regime that their teachers did not grow up in?
Students are, in a way, our hope. I think it is still the natural impulse of 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds to question what their elders present to them. Generally, questioning is good. Now that questioning will be directed, is directed at a censorship regime. So all is not lost.
Peter Berkowitz, Hoover Institution, writing at Real Clear Politics. The book is Jonathan Turley, The Indispensable Right, Free Speech in an Age of Rage. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly, perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.